Welcome to the podcast ministry of Pilgrim Baptist Church. Wherever you're listening from, welcome. We pray that the truth from the Word of God speaks to your heart during today's message.
The Bible says, let as many servants. Now, if you've been with us on Sunday morning, we started Romans 12. We know that servants is a good thing. That's a biblical thing. It's right to be a servant. And then it goes on to say, let as many servants as are under the yoke. And you put a yoke around an animal's neck, you would control that animal. A farmer would like to have some good oxen, some good horses, a set of mules, some donkeys. And when that farmer puts that yoke on their necks, he can control those animals. And you know what those animals do? They do the work on the farm so the farmer don't have to. In other words, those animals assist the farmer. The animals assist the master. And so when you think of yoke, we typically come to mind animals, you know? Even a dog. How many of you have a dog or have had a dog? And if you wanted to control that dog, you would put what around its neck? A yoke. I mean, it's a collar, but that's the idea there. It allows you to control that animal, but you are yoked together with that animal. You got that collar and you have that leash, but you are the one, you're the master, and the dog is the one who is doing what you are asking him to do. Dogs are even useful on the farm. If that shepherd doesn't feel like moving those sheep by himself, what can he do? He can send out his sheepdog, and a trained sheepdog will rally up those sheep and herd those sheep into the next pasture. So the idea of a yoke, it isn't really a bondage thing. The passage is trying to show us it is has to do with service. And it has to do with being able to be okay with a yoke. It's not reflected as a bad thing. Because a servant has a master. You and I, when we go to work, we have an employer. And that employer is our master. And we are there to be his servant. So he has some jobs, but he either A, doesn't want to do those jobs, B, he doesn't have time to do those jobs. Or C, maybe he's just too old to do all those jobs. So what does that master do? What does that employer do? Well, he has servants. He has employees. And he pays them to do jobs and assist him and his company. And that's the way it works. But he's the one that's in control. He gets to be the one that calls the shots. You ever feel like you have one of these days, man, and you say, just my boss, he just works me like a dog, right? You ever say that? I mean, that's the yoke. I mean, that's, that's the leash and the collar, and he just keeps working you, right? Your farmer on the farm, he's just working those mules all day, man. They're just worked like animals. That's the yoke. And God says, look, in this life as a Christian, you and I aren't going to get away from the idea of servant master, the idea of there's going to be a yoke and we are going to have to be just okay with it. And if your boss puts you under a yoke, just be good with it. You say, well, I'm just going to live out in the woods then. I'm just going to live out in the woods and I'm not going to answer to anybody. Okay, fine, live out in the woods. And you're going to grow your own food. And you're going to collect your own rainwater, and you're going to harvest your own meat. Great. You're under the yoke to your family. How are you going to provide for your family? In other words, when we think we got away from the yoke, we actually don't. We just put ourselves in another yoke. You know what God's trying to tell us here? Be okay with the yoke. Be okay with the yoke. Would you rather hunt for and harvest your own meat, or work 40 hours and go to Publix and buy it already prepared? Either way, you're under a yoke. You can't escape it. God says, it's okay. And When it says, let as many masters as are under the yoke, that being under the yoke, it is the mark of servitude. And so we shouldn't try to start a protest against our boss.
I'm going to be free.
But you're not free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be what? Free indeed. We are Christians. We can only find true freedom in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I can't wait till the next election. We're going to get rid of Biden and we're going to have Trump and we're going to be free from...
No, you're not. Look, we are going to be under some yoke. We are going to be under some leadership that isn't going to be right. One might be more right than the other. The other might be less wrong than the other. We all understand that. But look, people who are saved live under all types of tyrannical government all over this world. And we see it in our nation waxing worse and worse. But guess what? It isn't just in our nation. It's waxing worse and worse all over.
Land of the free.
People come here. They want freedom. Our nation was founded on the principle of freedom. You're not going to be under the bondage of a church and governing state, a state church, forcing and telling you what to do. And people found freedom from that. But what happened if they died without Christ as their Savior? You see, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. As Christians, our true freedom is only found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And you know what? I don't like the way things are going in our country any more than any other Christian does. But I know this. We are here tonight where a lot of Christians in other countries can't do what we're doing tonight. They can't do this. I do know that. I also know this. Remember we talked about the yoke and the animals and all that? If you're free in Christ and His yoke is easy, it really isn't much about the yoke, is it? It's more about who's controlling the reins. We're never going to have a boss that's going to control the reins like Christ. Jesus said His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Why don't we just yoke up with Jesus and let Him take the reins and let Him be in control? Because I'm not so worried about the yoke if I know I've got Jesus in control. I know it'll go right because He's always right. He's always right. Jesus wants us to be okay with the yoke. And then watch what it says. A very interesting phrase here in the first chapter. Count. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Now notice that the Bible here, it doesn't say that your master is an honorable man. It doesn't say that. It doesn't even say that because all masters are worthy, it doesn't say that either. It says to count them. Now, I pointed that out to say this. Not all masters are worthy. Not all masters are honorable. But the Bible tells us to count them, here it is, as if they are worthy. And that's how we can bear the yoke. And are you saved? Jesus says this. You do right. You do right because you are a Christian, regardless of what your boss does. You can't make your boss do right. But God says, you count. Count it. See it? Your own masters, it says, you count their own masters worthy of all honor. You do right even when your boss doesn't do right. And you are to treat your boss as if he is worthy, even if he's not worthy. Why? You know, there's a lot of Christian men who understand what the Bible says about submission when it comes to their wives submitting to them. And you know what? There's a lot of verses with fathers who know all the verses about their children should submit in obedience as children to the Father. Man, they know all those verses. And you know what God says in 1 Timothy 6? He says, okay, and I want you to go to work, and I want you to submit under your boss the same way you would expect your wife or your children to submit to you. And you know what good Christian wives do when their husbands aren't acting honorable? They treat them and they count them as if they are. And so God says, look, nobody escapes this idea of submission. We are all in servitude and we are all in submission to someone. Wouldn't it be an awful thing for a man to be called a hypocrite by his wife and his children because he asked them to do something that he's not willing to do when he goes to work? Now, isn't that a rough verse? It is. God wants us to get a hold of that. And we can't. He takes away the excuse. Well, I couldn't submit to my boss because he wasn't right. God says, really? Well, your wife submits to you and you're not always right. Ow. Ow. Jesus obeyed his parents and his parents weren't always right. Ouch. And so that's the idea. Now go to Titus 2. Let's look at another verse. Titus chapter number 2. Look at verse number 9. Bible says, holding fast, let me get to chapter 2, verse number 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. That means don't argue with them. And to please them well in all things, just do what we're told. And if you're wiser than your employer, remember he hired you. And so he gets to give the instructions, and then we, as the employee, get to obey the boss, okay? Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and please them well in all things, not answering again. Whew. Now, if you're a parent, you can relate to this verse, not answering again, that phrase. Because when you raise kids, or if you are right now raising kids, you know you have said to them, I don't want you answering back. I gave the commands. These are the instructions. This is what we need to do around the house. But I don't want you, no answering back. We're going to get to it. Yeah, but I don't want you to. No. Stop with the answering again. What does that mom or that dad want from the child? Hey, we've got to do this chore and this chore and this chore. What's the correct response from the children? Oh, yes, mom, yes, dad, let's get right to it. They don't answer again. You know what God wants us to do? If we have a boss and he says, I want you to do X, Y, and Z, our response should be, yes, sir. It shouldn't be, I don't really think we should do that today. We'll save that for Wednesday. He's the boss. And God wants us to be obedient unto our own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Let's go a little bit deeper. Not purloining, that's stealing. Then it shows, but showing all good fidelity. That's your faithfulness. That's your loyalty. That's your integrity. There used to be a time, I don't know, we're losing a lot of this stuff culturally in our country. There used to be a time where an employer was loyal to his employees and vice versa. I mean, you'd have men that would stay at a job for 20, 30, 40 years and then retire. It's not really like that much anymore, I don't think. Christians, Bible talks about that in this verse, showing all good fidelity. Be loyal. Be a loyal servant. Be a loyal employee that has some biblical integrity. Because if not, all that shows, really, we're just not in submission to God. Because God's the one that has commanded us to do that. And what I really wanted to get to in verse number 10 is the end of this, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. And when you look at that verse in connection to 1 Timothy 6, if we can look at that together, keep your finger in both, Titus 2, at the end of verse 10, you see where it says, the doctrine, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things, and then we see we're going through verse number 1 at the end of chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. It says that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. You know why that's so important? As soon as you get the job, gentlemen, as soon as we show up at the job site, first day on the job, and your boss and your workmates find out that you're a Christian, guess what you become? The example of Christianity. We realize that, right? They're going to see that you're not laughing at the dirty jokes, you're not talking like them, you're on work for time, you're on work on time, all of that. They're going to see that. Remember we looked at, hey, not purloining, you don't want to be stealing, you want to make sure you're loyal and all that. As soon as the unsaved co-workers see that you stole from the company, or see that you laughed at the bad joke, as soon as they find a fault in you as a Christian and me as a Christian, they will use that as an excuse to dismiss Christianity. Now, am I telling the truth? Is that right? And God wants us to be an example on the job site. Why? So that His doctrine isn't blasphemed. Because that lost man is looking for an excuse to dismiss Christianity. We shouldn't give him that. Now, he shouldn't do that, but the reality of it is, that's how it goes. Jesus, man, they knew him as the carpenter. Oh, Mary's son? The carpenter? Now, have any of you fellows worked on the construction site? I mean, Jesus, he was a construction worker. Now, if you haven't worked on a construction site, you know that's the roughest place to work. It's the foulest language, it's the smoking, it's the drinking after work, everything that goes along with that industry. Man, do you know how difficult it is to keep a testimony as a carpenter? Isn't it interesting that Jesus was a carpenter? He was around all that. He was around that and never sinned ever. Now, isn't that a great example? The Lord Jesus Christ. You get on a construction job site, that's one of the most difficult job sites to keep a testimony. Jesus did. We should be like him. All right, let's look at one more verse tonight. 1 Timothy 6. All right, look at verse number 2. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. That's a meaty verse. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren. I'm going to borrow money from the boss. And my boss is a Christian. He won't mind if I don't pay him back. And Jesus says, how about no? And it works vice versa. You don't borrow money from a brother and say, well, he's a brother. He won't miss it much. No, God says don't do that. You pay him back because you're a brother. That's what you do as a Christian. And God's warning us about this. Hey, a saved man would never do that to somebody he'd lost out in the world. And God says, I hope you wouldn't treat a brother, someone who's saved, worse than you would treat a lost man out in the world. Christians pay their debts to the lost. They come after them. And God sneaks this in. He don't sneak it in. He puts it in there for us to learn from. And he says, look, if any of my children would ever dare to think, well, Christians are forgiving. Christians are loving. Matter of fact, aren't they supposed to forgive? Hey, can I borrow 10 grand? And if you or I have no intention to pay it back because we're counting on the fact that, well, he's a Christian, he's supposed to forgive me when I do wrong. God says, man, that's wicked. None of us should even think that. But that happens all over our country. And it's in the name of Christ, and it's not right. So God warns us about it. He says, because they are brethren, we pay them back because we are their brother and we love them and we do what is right. And partakers, watch this, because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved. Loved by God, they're faithful, so are you. Treat them how God would treat them, with respect and honesty. And then it says, partakers of the benefit. Now, who is the benefit? That'd be Christ. All of us as brothers and sisters in Christ, that's the benefit, Jesus Christ. We know this verse. Go to Psalm 68. We'll read it together. Psalm 68. Verse 19. It's very familiar. When you get there, you'll say, yeah, I know that verse. Psalm 68, look at verse number 19. Blessed be the Lord. That'd be a good place to say amen. That's a blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. He is the benefit, and he is the benefit giver. You want to load the hard drive, you know, load the hard drive with all the files. And God says, I'm going to, every day, I'm here to replenish and daily load you with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. And those psalms are all about musical stuff. You see Selah, that's like a rest. Stop right there. And be quiet and meditate on that. Selah. Tomorrow's a new day. God's got some benefits. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Think on it. Selah. Pause. Think on this. All of us needed pardoning of our sin. We all received it the same way, from trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we are all regarded as fellow heirs of the grace of God. We all get saved by the same grace, God's grace. And as Christians, we are Christian workers, we are servants of Christ, and we talked about Sunday afternoon how we are ambassadors and ministers and teachers and builders and soldiers, and you know what? Every day the Lord's there to load us up with some more benefits. And we've got the best benefit package. The benefit. Christ and eternal life. Praise His name. You can say, what type of benefit package you have? Oh, it's out of this world. And you'd be right. You'd be telling the truth. It's out of this world. All right, last thing I want to look at, we'll need 1 Timothy 6. I want to look at these things teach and exhort. I'd like to close with Colossians as we close out in that chapter and on this last sentence we find, I want to just say a few things. These things teach and exhort. With that said, go to Colossians chapter number 3. And when it says teach and exhort, it means we constantly need to be reminded. God's people need to be reminded of these things because we often forget. And a lot of times, especially on a Thursday night service, we're not in the season where I'm tackling some of these tougher topics that I feel that a Thursday night is appropriate for. But, you know, on a Thursday night, we do some deep dive and we go verse by verse. And a lot of the stuff you may already have known and have heard, but we've got to teach and exhort. We've got to go over it again. And it helps to kind of get soaked into our spirit. So Colossians 3, watch this. I'm going to exhort myself and you. Colossians 3, look at verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. If a guy's brave enough in the service, he'll say, Amen! Except we're going to keep reading because watch what it says. Because sometimes our amens are, we're happy that the preacher's preaching against the other person. Right? I mean, think about that. A lot of the amens that come out of people's mouths in church is because it wasn't about them. But Colossians 3 is going to show us as we go through this that submission is for all of us. So we see the wives are commanded in verse 18, but watch. Look at verse number 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And all the moms that had a rough day at homeschooling and a rough week and all that, and amen. Why? Well, because that verse wasn't for them. That was for the youngins. And, you know, so we amen at what we think other people should hear. So wives get some submission in Colossians 3. Kids get some submission in Colossians 3. But God's not done. Because look at verse 22. Servants, obey your masters according to the flesh. We can have some masters down here, but he's not the capital M master, according to the Spirit. But according to the flesh, men, when we go into work tomorrow, that master, that boss, that little M master, we are told to obey, and that's submission. God says, none of us escape submission. And it would be hypocritical and unfair for for me to say to my wife, well, you better submit and then go to work and then mouth off to my boss. That's the most hypocritical thing a man can do. He says, you obey in all things your master, according to the flesh, not with eye service. Well, okay, the boss isn't looking. Because God is looking, by the way. Okay? We don't just, only when the boss is watching. And then in verse number 22, we'll finish with this thought. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And God, when he's talking about submission and obedience, in Colossians 3, it's not really about pleasing men and fearing men as much as it's about we are to fear God and please God. And if we all understand our roles of obedience and servitude and submission, it isn't about man to man, spouse to spouse, parents to children, as much as it's about unto the Lord. Let's seek to serve, obey, and please Him. He's our capital M, Master.
Thank you for listening to the podcast ministry of Pilgrim Baptist Church. We look forward to seeing you in the next episode. In the meantime, you can sign up for our email newsletter at www.pilgrimbaptist.church.